Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. On today's program, Kathy Mink of the Belfast Peace and Justice Center will be talking about the stolen presidency and about the Patriot Act.
Kathy Mink has been an activist involved in social issues since Vietnam and the civil rights movement. She's lived in the Belfast area for a few years now, and she became re-involved in the political activist movement back in the 1980s when she became interested in what was happening in Central America. She has a lifelong interest and dedication to democracy and a belief in an active citizenry, and she also believes that one person can make a difference. We invited her to join us here on Radioactive after hearing her speak about the Patriot Act at the Real Security Forum in March. And Kathy, you've said that you believe the erosion of civil liberties, which was formalized with the Patriot Act and the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security, started with the theft of the presidency. Can you say more about that, please? And welcome, by the way.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and have an opportunity to speak to our community about these concerns. I felt for some time now, ever since the election of 2000, and then certainly emphasized by the events of September the 11th and what has followed since then, that the people who currently hold power in this country are ignoring laws, in fact, breaking laws. The first interest, the first instance in which their disregard for law was very obvious was, of course, the theft of the presidency. You know, the Supreme Court knew this when late on the night of December 12th, these unelected people sitting in the Supreme Court stated that the only solution to the dispute in Florida's election was to count all the votes cast in the state, but there was no time to do it. That was a deliberate falsehood, and I think that the dissenting opinion of Justice Breyer points out very eloquently why that was false and why what the Supreme Court did was a usurpation of the Constitution. The Constitution reads in Amendment 20, thusly, "The terms of the President and Vice President shall end at noon on the 20th of January. If a president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of his term," and that's January the 20th, "or if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until a president shall have been qualified, and the Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president-elect shall have qualified, declaring who shall then act as president, or the manner in which one who is to act shall be selected. And such person shall act accordingly until a president or vice president shall have qualified." Now, nowhere in the Constitution or the 12th or 20th Amendment does it say anything about the Supreme Court having any part in the selection of a president. So that's the first instance of where the ruling group now has broken the law.
Do you think that any president, that anyone who became president under those types of circumstances, that those circumstances themselves set the precedence for the kind of power that we're seeing now? I mean, which has obviously been influenced by the events of September 11th. But do you think that it's the process that occurred influenced, or who became president, or what combination of that?
Well, it seems to me that anyone who wanted to be president in this country and really respected the process, which is the people's vote, would never have accepted the position without having made sure that all the votes were counted. What in fact happened was that the person who now sits in the White House and those around him demanded that the votes not be counted. And the Supreme Court went along with not counting the votes because, quote, there was no time, unquote. But, of course, we see by reading the Constitution that they had at least until January 20th to count the votes. So, yes, I think that that breaking of the law contributes to a climate in which continued lawbreaking is tolerated. And, in fact, those of us who point to the breaking of the law and questioning of the authority and questioning of the acts that have been following since the theft of the presidency. We are accused of being unpatriotic, when in fact we are the patriots who are trying to save our Constitution, the bedrock of our democracy.
If we are the patriots, then it is perhaps ironic that what we're here to talk about today is the Patriot Act, which seems to take away a lot of rights of all Americans and people living in this country who are maybe not United States citizens. Give us a little bit of background information on the Patriot Act itself. When did it happen? Was it close to September 11th?
The Patriot Act actually was passed in October, I believe. If we listened to the news carefully, we heard that there was a lot of what I would call chicanery about this act. It was sent to the Congress not in as complete form as it should have been. The committees who looked at it didn't give all the information to people. It is about 200 pages long. And there was this constant drumbeat that we must have it now. You've got to pass it now. The Congress must pass this act. We are all in danger. So there was an element of scare tactics. We're very fortunate that the American Civil Liberties Union has done a legislative analysis.
And can you just say, before we go into that, just for anyone who's listening who may not know what the Patriot Act is, it's about 200 pages long, so clearly we can't just read it for folks, mm-hmm. although it is available to look at online. But just what is it in a nutshell that raises such concerns about this law now?
I will just quote from the Patriot, from the legislative analysis of the Patriot Act by the ACLU. Quote, this law is based on the faulty assumption that safety must come at the expense of civil liberties, said Laura Murphy, director of the ACLU's Washington National Office. And further quoting, the USA Patriot Act gives law enforcement agencies nationwide extraordinary new powers unchecked by meaningful judicial review. That is a very important element of this analysis, that the law enforcement agencies are unchecked by meaningful judicial review. In some cases, a law enforcement agency can go into a court and ask for something called trap and trace orders, which is tapping your phone line. This Patriot Act further marginalizes the role of the judiciary, which are the judges who would give a law enforcement agent a warrant.
And the Patriot Act also expands greatly what they could already do in terms of tapping phones. It also extends the FBI's powers to listen to cell phone conversations, to monitor email, and to even eavesdrop on conversations between lawyers and their clients, among other things. It's a huge surveillance bill. Just want to put that information out there for anyone who isn't sure what we're talking
about.
Very
important for people to be aware of that when they're on their computers. And, Big Brother is watching you. But I wanted to quote a little further from the ACLU, where it talks about the role of the judiciary being marginalized. The Patriot Act authorizes what would be the equivalent of a blank warrant in the physical world. The court issues the order, which is a piece of paper, and the law enforcement agent fills in the places to be searched. The law enforcement agent does not have to go before the judge to say that. He only needs this piece of paper that is signed in blank. This is not consistent with the important Fourth Amendment privacy protection of requiring that warrants specify the place to be searched. And just to quote from the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people, this is the quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause. And that is a very strong requirement of the courts. Probable cause requires a lot of evidence. Back to the quote. Probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That is the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution. The Patriot Act absolutely violates that when you consider that it virtually will give a blank warrant because it does not demand meaningful judicial review. In fact, in some places, a judge may not refuse to give a warrant. They may not.
I'm going to toss out something here, which is a couple of things. One is that I remember Benjamin Franklin writing at the time when they were framing the Constitution that liberty, freedom, meant that you had to give up a certain amount of safety and security in order to secure true freedom and liberty for people, because they were sort of having this debate as they were framing a lot of these privacy issues. And the other thing that I heard some people saying recently is, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, what have you got to hide? And I think going back historically and looking at a time where the people in this country had had their homes broken into by red-coated soldiers looking for printing presses and everything, that people in this country framing the Constitution knew exactly what they were doing. It wasn't about crime. It was about political freedom.
Squashing dissidents.
Exactly.
I think you're absolutely right. And if the people today, and with all their comfort, with all the distractions, with all of the benefits of a wealthy lifestyle compared to the rest of the world, are too distracted to read again their Constitution and to cherish what is in there, what is settled law, what is basic to all of our enjoyment, if people do not take the time to do that, they are going to lose their freedoms. They are under threat even now with the Patriot Act. And until some of this is challenged in court, it is going to operate. And, of course, there is not even any guarantee, given what happened in the 2000 election, that the court will save us from these unconstitutional legislative pieces such as the Patriot Act.
And in fact, some of the first victims of this, what are we doing here is making that noise. Okay, good. Some of the first victims of the this so-called crackdown are people who are being held in jails in the country without any formal charges against them on vague immigration issues. And they can't challenge these things in court because, well, for one thing, they can't even have a conversation with their lawyers without it being listened to legally now. So in terms of the powers being eroded, it really has sort of an exponential effect. You wanted to talk also, Kathy, about the connection with all of this and with what's going on in the Middle East right now. Do you want to move into that? Or?
Yes, I think that's a very useful topic to get into, because Israel is the recipient of $3 billion worth of American taxpayers' money. Most of it goes to military hardware. The legislation that binds that kind of assistance states that a recipient country cannot use their military means to do extrajudicial assassinations. Now, the Israelis, even before they illegally went into Palestine this last time, were using helicopter gunships to assassinate people who are part of the Palestinian government. That's been proven. And they use such things as they will wire a bomb to a tree, and then there'll be a helicopter hovering overhead. And when the wanted person steps out of their door, the helicopter triggers something that causes that bomb to go off and kill the person who is passing by. Now, the legislation by which Israel receives this forbids the recipient country from doing extrajudicial assassinations. It also forbids them from engaging in human rights violations. If anyone has been listening to even the most mainstream, mediocre news of what is going on in Palestine, they will know that the Israeli army is trashing the human rights that are observed around the world and are embodied in United Nations resolutions, in the Geneva rules of the conduct of war, and so on. When you consider that a Palestinian woman, who was also an American citizen, was shot point blank by an Israeli soldier because she was trying to protect her husband from being shot by the Israeli soldier. She was living in Palestine with her father and mother, and her husband managed to drag her into the house. The woman died there. The father, who was Palestinian, called the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, saying what had happened. And he called the State Department. No one came. No one from the United States bothered to do anything for that man whose daughter was a United States citizen and had been murdered by an Israeli. Now, that is a contravention of every rule of human rights, and certainly the legislative issues around how our aid to foreign countries are to be used would be violated by that instance where Israeli soldiers shot and killed an American citizen and also a Palestinian.
And you believe this is further indication of the Bush administration's attitude that they don't really have to follow any laws stemming from, starting with the way that they were not elected to, he was not elected to the presidency?
I think it's rather clear that it is an organically growing disregard for domestic law, for our Constitution, for international law.
As it applies to them, more laws for the people, but no, the laws don't apply to those in power. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what it seems like, and they even try to make laws that are unconstitutional, in other words, against existing law. And so it's incumbent on citizens to educate themselves, to become aware, to let it be a very high priority in their daily life, to see what is going on and to dig and search for the information by which they can remain free and help others to be free from what appears to be a lawless group who now sit in power in this country.
And our rights are written down in this country. We are supposedly a literate society, and it starts with the Constitution, Bill of Rights. What would you tell people who maybe haven't read the Constitution? How can people know their rights?
You know, we have a very fine organization in this country called the National Lawyers Guild. They put out an article called Know Your Rights, A Legal Guide to Survival in Post-9/11 America. That's a pretty incriminating and damning title for something, but thank goodness for the National Lawyers Guild. If you would let me, I'd like to run down just a few of the high spots of what is in this, and then at the end I will give you the phone numbers to call to get this information. First of all, we should be aware that constitutional rights cannot be suspended, even during a state of emergency or wartime. Now, the Congress and the news media and the man who sits in the White House is fond of telling us that it's wartime, but no law, no war has been declared. Another unconstitutional thing, the Constitution says that only Congress can declare war. And despite a resolution supporting the president to do the necessary because of 9/11, it did not say we could go to war, and it has not declared war. Once again, we are treading on that which is not legal. Again, for the Lawyers Guild, you do not have to talk to a policeman, FBI, INS, or any other law enforcement agent or investigator. And you can say no if the police, FBI, INS, or anyone else tries to enter your home without a warrant. It is very important that you ask to see that warrant and that whatever they want be named on that warrant. And if it is not, you are quite at liberty to refuse. You do not have to let police or other law enforcement agents into your home unless they have that warrant with the Bill of Particulars. If you are stopped on the street, ask if you are free to go. Anything you say to the police, FBI, INS, etc., can be used against you and others. Remember that.
Need to finish that up and give the phone
number. Yeah, there is a very
important
part that we want to give you.
Yeah, get the information on how people can get their hands on this document themselves.
Right. The National Lawyers Guild Post 9/11 Project can be reached at 212-505-9119. Now, help for attorneys and help in finding immigration lawyers, the number would be 617-227-9727.
And how can people plug into the Belfast Peace and Justice Group? When are your meetings and where?
The Peace and Justice Group of Waldo County meets the first Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Belfast at 37 Miller Street, and that's behind the Belfast Free Library.
Okay, and we have information that we don't have time to go into today, but call us right after the show or use the contact information at the end that we'll give for Radioactive. There is going to be a peace march in Portland on Sunday in solidarity with the big peace march in D.C., which is happening this weekend. We have contact information for the buses to D.C., have other information, but no contact information regarding the march in Portland. Hope Festival Saturday. If you want information about that, contact us at the end of the show.
And it's time for our weekly song. Dave Rovics came into the studio yesterday to be on Kathy Melio's show live, and he left us a brand new CD. It is so brand new, it doesn't even have titles and things on it, and we're not even sure who the wonderful female voice is on this cut. But here is Dave Rovics.
Safer country, and it's in God we trust. So we'll bomb you during Ramadan, turn your world into dust. But pull up on your bootstraps, stand on your own 2 feet as we blow them off with cluster bombs disguised as something to eat. We stand for freedom and prosperity, so we'll bomb your schools and hospitals, make sure you live in misery, and all you evildoers, and your children and your wives. With our B-52s, we'll show you how we value civilian lives. Give us your hungry, your restless, we'll show you democracy, a military trial and detention indefinitely. We'll have homeland security, Thomas Ridge, all hail. We may not find the terrorists, but we can throw the left in jail, and we will all be safe, and we shall have no fears. Once our retinas have been scanned, and all the walls have ears, and we're all in good hands when the FBI is in the know. We're sure they'll look after us just like they did with COINTELPRO. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing God bless America, that red, white, and blue. When facing anyone with box cutters, we'll say put up your dukes as we spend $50 billion on bombers and nukes. We're a beacon of light. And just to make the point, we'll cut taxes on the rich and throw the poor into the joint. And we'll bail out the airlines. Get out your green fedoras. And for all you laid off workers, we've got maquiladoras. Yes, capitalism will save us. For have you ever seen a more convincing proof than Enron and Argentina? So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. The axis of evil will bomb them down to skids. There'll be no more terrorists once we kill their kids. People may starve and economies may crumble, but those folks will just have to learn to be more humble. And give us your money, debt repayments with aplomb, while we scour the map for a country left to bomb. And as another city falls on our sacred American soil, at least we've got our daisy cutters and that Alaskan oil. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue.
And that's Dave Robichs. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown.
And by the way, this is not Meredith with a voice change. This is Helen York filling in for Meredith.
Meredith will be back next week. We'd like to thank Andy Buckley for web support, Helen York for filling in as guest hostess, Kathy Mink for being our guest, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on the web at www.freespeech.org/RAN or at mainindymedia.org. Join us again next Thursday when the plan is... Can we announce the plan, Helen?
Yes, I think we can.
The plan is that we will be broadcasting live from a sound check at the Midnight Oil concert. So join us for that hopefully interesting show.